Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the very beginning of it, and it's a passage that we refer to as the Beatitudes. Like many teachings of Jesus, there's more going on here than what we see on the surface. The Beatitudes are not just a list of things that we are to do and be in order to be blessed by God, but first and foremost, these are things that only Jesus could do and be. And the blessings that he earned, he has given to all of us, his children. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear saints of God, some of you have noticed that, and some of you have made comments to me about how it seems like I've had to do a lot of funeral services lately, and I look back on the calendar going back into the summer for the last few months, and I'd say, yeah, that's pretty accurate. Here at Trinity, we typically average about one funeral a month, something like that, maybe a dozen funerals a year, maybe a little bit more. But going back the last few months into the summer, it's been more like double that. It's been like two funerals a month or so. And if you've already taken a look ahead, you know, we're going to be doing the commemoration of the faithful departed, and if you've already looked at that list on the back of your bulletin today, you might have noticed that the list is actually a little bit shorter than it normally is on All Saints Sunday. So you might be wondering, you know, what gives? How could we have had all these funerals and yet the list of names is not all that long? And traditionally here at Trinity, we list and commemorate the names of those saints who were members of this congregation who have passed away in the last year. And so actually most of the more recent funerals were people who were not members of this congregation. And don't get me wrong, I mean, they all had a strong connection to this congregation in one way or another. Maybe they grew up here in Hoyleton and they were buried in our cemetery, or maybe they were, you know, relatives of some of our members or something like that. I didn't want anybody to think that I had become, you know, like a traveling funeral salesman, like I'm moonlighting and have a second job or something like that. But, you know, that's what's going on. And honestly, it's been a blessing. One of the really great things about doing some of these more non-traditional funerals has been the fact that it's given me an opportunity to interact with and minister to people that I normally wouldn't get to. People who, in a lot of cases, are not Lutheran, in some cases, not even Christian. And it's been really great to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them in their time of need, in their time of grief. God has really been opening those doors, and that is a wonderful thing. But also, when we have these meetings to plan these funeral services, I've learned that there are some really interesting perceptions out there among non-Lutherans of what a Lutheran funeral typically is supposed to be like. And it's led to some kind of interesting and unique suggestions for me or requests for how the service might go. So like, for example, we had a funeral recently where the main request was that we make sure that it is not going to be a dark and dreary funeral. I guess this is somebody who thought that, you know, Lutherans are kind of like in a constant state of Lent or something like that, that there's just no joy whatsoever in a Lutheran funeral. Someone recently asked me if I would make sure that my sermon wasn't too preachy. And I still haven't figured out exactly what that means. I kind of explained, well, I am a preacher, you know, that's kind of what I do. And if I'm going to preach at a funeral service, I'm always going to talk about Jesus. I mean, that's just kind of how this works. There was a recent funeral where they were really concerned that we would have really upbeat music. And so I learned that there's a perception out there that you Lutherans are always singing songs in a minor key and songs that sound really sad. And, you know, it's just, like I said, it's been kind of eye-opening. I'm not really all about being dark and dreary, so it's okay with me. It just seems like lately there's been some sort of pressure to kind of jazz up these funeral services a little bit. And that kind of sounds funny to say, jazzing up a funeral service, but, you know, and so I've kind of been joking around about how sometimes we need to put the fun in funeral, which also kind of sounds strange, I know. So, but like I said, this has been eye-opening. It's really helped me to see how others perceive what goes on in a typical Lutheran funeral. Today is All Saints Sunday, and so in a way, even if you are not coming here today personally mourning the loss of a loved one, on All Saints Sunday, we all kind of feel a little bit, I think, like this is a funeral service in some way. You know, we're going to be having this time later on in our service where we think about all of those faithful saints who have passed away in the last year. And, you know, we take that time to think about death. Death kind of naturally comes to our minds and comes to our hearts on a day like today. And then you hear the traditional All Saints Day gospel reading from Matthew 5, and it's kind of like a passage that really sort of is misunderstood, maybe almost as much as a Lutheran funeral can be misunderstood. I mentioned before, we call this the Beatitudes. Jesus uses the word blessed here 9 times in this short passage. And I would say this is such a familiar passage, it's probably in the top 10 of passages that we almost have memorized. But I wonder if when we hear these words, if sometimes we start to have almost the opposite effect happen to us, where instead of feeling blessed by these words, we almost feel cursed by them. How can we be really sure that Jesus is talking about us here? How many of us hear these words and think, oh yeah, Jesus is definitely promising all of these amazing things to me? Or on the other hand, maybe we hear these beatitudes, these blessings, and we say, well, maybe Jesus is talking about someone else. Maybe Jesus is talking about someone who's way more spiritual than I am. You know, someone who's really, really good at being merciful, or someone who really hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Someone who's really a peacemaker, you know? That's not really me, or maybe you don't feel like that's you. The problem is this list, it sounds like a list of things we are supposed to do and a list of things we're supposed to be if we want God to bless us. And yet we know our limitations. We know that we fall short. We know that we don't perfectly fit into these categories that Jesus is describing here. And so it's possible that when we hear the Beatitudes, we might actually become discouraged by them rather than encouraged. Right? Almost like someone who might feel discouraged when they walk into a Lutheran funeral service. Even though both of these things are meant to comfort us. Both of these things are meant, first and foremost, to lift us up in the gospel. The truth is, the reason why these blessings can at times feel like curses is because we all have this tendency to view everything through the lens of our own selves. And let me explain what I mean by that. So like when it comes to attending a funeral, right? Wouldn't it be great if you could go to a funeral and the only thing that would come into your mind are these wonderful, amazing blessings that Scripture offers to us, the talk about heaven and salvation and eternal life? Wouldn't it be great if that was the only thing that came into your mind at a funeral? Except that's not reality, is it? I mean, that's not how life works. And so often when we go to a funeral, we do feel sad and we do mourn because we do think about how this affects us, how this death affects everybody, how it changes our life now that our loved one isn't with us anymore. It makes us maybe even think of our own mortality when we see that casket lowered into the ground. And so we mourn and we feel sad. And you know what? That's okay. Jesus himself wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. None of us are called to go to a funeral and slap a big fake smile on our face and pretend like death is our best friend. When we are mourning, when we are grieving, when we are missing someone who has meant a lot to us, this is a natural thing. This is how we were created to be. And so I don't want you to feel guilty about feeling sad at a funeral. The same kind of thing happens with the Beatitudes. If we read the Beatitudes and we think primarily about the saints who have gone before us, those blessed saints, right? Well, then this is a wonderful passage to listen to. Maybe you've got people in your life that you're thinking of who are in heaven right now celebrating with Jesus. Maybe they were really merciful. Maybe they were the kinds of people who really hungered and thirsted for righteousness. Maybe you even know people personally who were persecuted for righteousness' sake, right? So when you hear about those blessings and you think about those saints, boy, it feels really good. And it sounds really good. It's great to think of the dead fondly. But if we take those same Beatitudes and then we apply them to us in our life now, and we start to think about how we kind of fall short of some of these things, well, then all of a sudden it's a little bit harder to listen to. It's much better if we realize that the Beatitudes are not about us, and they're not even about them. The Beatitudes, first and foremost, are about Jesus. All of the saints, as faithful as they might have been, all of them are experiencing the joys and the blessings of heaven right now because they are forgiven and redeemed sinners. None of them are experiencing the joys of paradise because they somehow earned it, but it's because Jesus earned it for them and for us. You and I are saints too, by faith in Jesus Christ. You and I have been washed clean with the same holy baptism, and we just got a wonderful reminder of that with little Max today. You and I are blessed. That's exactly what the Beatitudes are describing for us. It's not a list of things we have to do, but it's a list of things we are, thanks to Jesus. And it completely changes the way that you think about this. Because now, instead of feeling bad that Jesus is describing things that we are not, instead we realize that Jesus is reminding me and reminding you who we already have been created to be by faith in him. The kind of faith that can see a baby have water poured over his head three times and believe that the Holy Spirit is actually doing something amazing, an amazing transformation in his heart. The same kind of faith that can approach this altar and receive a wafer of bread and a sip of wine and believe that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The same kind of faith that can see the Son of God on the cross bleeding and dying and proclaim, "This is a blessing! This is a blessing for the world and not a curse." That same faith can make it so that we are comforted even when we are faced with the worst of what this world has to offer. Even if we're sitting in a funeral service, even if we're singing a hymn in a minor key, we know and we believe that God is blessing us. And you know what? Yeah, there's going to be some days when we struggle. We struggle with sin and doubt and sadness and pain, and struggling does not disqualify us from the things that Jesus promises us here. Maybe you don't feel very meek today. Maybe you don't feel like you've been hungering and thirsting for righteousness enough. Thank God that sainthood is not dependent upon how you feel. The Holy Spirit is working in you and through you to make you holy and perfect. And because God sees you as perfect, these words of Christ apply to you. On All Saints Sunday, remember that you're a saint too. You are blessed too. You will be comforted. You will inherit the earth. You will be satisfied. You will receive mercy. You will see God. You will be called his children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Blessed are you for the sake of Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.